Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is the third issue of Volume 6, Blinded by Science. On the cover, our heroes strike dramatic poses, mostly in silhouette. They are circled by a thumb and forefinger in a style that is a clear throwback to a James Bond opening sequence. Across the cover, the enormous, menacing letters of the title read, click, boom.
The first panel shows two groups of people running to try to converge and triangle off someone who is further ahead. The woman who's further ahead is in a full navy suit, and she's just sprinting as fast as she can and making just enormous leaps over buildings. We're going rooftop to rooftop. Kalino and the superhero, the dilettante, are sprinting behind her. The dilettante is a hero that is just dressed. She's in just a dress with a little domino mask, and she's an expert of martial arts and hand-to-hand fighting. And then coming from the side are Puck and Alina. Both of them are in costume, Alina with her domino mask and Puck with his full mask. And they are sprinting, and they're holding hands as they run to kind of give Alina the little bit of extra boost that Puck's super speed and super strength give him. And that is more or less where we start this comic out.
Cool.
In the previous issue, the readers saw, but the characters did not, that the woman who they're chasing is a member of the Appointed and has the symbol of the Appointed tattooed on her neck. The Appointed being, of course, the cult that Alina was raised in that is dedicated towards trying to discover a way to just create mutation in people and then become extraordinarily dangerously powerful. This comes off of a heist that stole some mutant suppressant technology from a scientific expo. But so now we're trying to not get back that technology, but catch someone who has shown some very powerful mind-altering abilities. So you're sprinting to chase after her and try to catch up. You can see ahead that she's coming towards a space where there's two buildings that are just going to be too big for her to leap in a single go. And so she turns around, and we get a full panel that is just her standing there. She is of African descent and has like really dark purple lipstick and really dark purple makeup around her eyes. She's in this very well-tailored, well-fitting blue navy suit. And both of her hands are down, held in kind of gun hand shapes. And she has tattoos on each of her wrists that look like kind of just almost like ammunition count. But both of them are filled up. Like, you know, it's just like a symbol there. And she just stops and turns and looks at both groups and just raises her hands up with finger guns pointing at you.
I'm going to try and force her hands so that she's not aiming at anyone.
Okay.
So maybe actually not to the side, but up. Above her head.
Okay. That sounds like you're unleashing your powers.
Yes.
Nice.
9.
So that is plus freak.
12.
Yes.
Oh, right, because you have 3 freak right now. Jeez. She has both of her hands up, and she just goes click, and then her hands are pushed upward, and there's like a vague recoil on each of her hands, and then she kind of like bares her teeth and goes, stay back, all of you. I'm not messing around. Dilettante has pulled up, and like you've now formed sort of a semicircle around her. Her back is to a jump that she clearly cannot make. And Dilettante says, easy, easy. Listen, nobody has to get hurt today. What do you do?
Puck is going to also put up finger guns.
Okay, great.
And slowly just start walking close to her.
Okay.
What are you doing?
She doesn't know.
You don't know.
She lowers both of her hands to point right at Puck's head.
Okay.
Another step.
Same for you.
And she goes, click, boom. And she's trying to use her abilities on Puck.
Okay. Can I resist them or?
So here's what I'm going to say. Masks is set up in a way that resisting things isn't really a thing. And instead how it's set up is that other people defend.
There's a bunch of debris, as there often is on rooftops.
Okay.
So like I'm going to pick up the heaviest sort of like rock or like some like concrete or something that fell off, you know, that was weathered off or whatever. And I'm going to throw it and aim at her, whatever hand she's using.
Okay.
That's pointing at Puck. So I'm going to try to hit her like in the wrist, like near her tattoo.
Okay.
So that, again, she's diverted.
Primarily intending to defend Puck.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. Go ahead and roll to defend, which is plus savior.
Oh boy. Okay. This is basically a straight roll because of my condition.
Okay.
So. It is a 3.
Okay. So you throw the rock and she just says, boom. And Puck, for a minute, is just still. And then he turns and punches Kalino right in the head. And Kalino goes tumbling to the side. And like you've got the rock picked up and you're like, you're getting ready to throw it. And then you just get clocked hard in the jaw. Go ahead and roll to take a powerful blow.
10.
Okay, so you remove yourself from the situation, lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, or two options from the 7 to 9 list.
At this point, I usually hate to do this option, but at this point, I'm probably knocked out. I've been beaten the hell up all day.
Yeah.
And I'm really worried about Kalino's head. I am not Wolverine.
I mean, there's other options you can choose. Like you can give ground and provoke a teammate to foolhardy action or take advantage of your influence to inflict a condition. And you have influence over Puck. So you could make Puck feel bad for hitting you.
But then I give that up, right?
Yes, you do give that up if you do that.
I'm not marking any more conditions.
No,
also, you could provoke Alina.
That's true. You could provoke Alina, or you could... And like if you provoked Alina or took advantage of your influence and gave ground, then you would have... that would satisfy it.
So, yeah, I am going to... I'm going to lash out verbally. Puck, dude, I was trying to defend you. What the hell?
Your reality comes... No, your reality comes back almost immediately after you hit him. And so you know that you just punched him hard in the face. And then he's like this guy that you care about telling you that sucks.
Yeah.
So go ahead and mark a condition.
Okay. What am I marking?
A condition.
Okay.
Your choice.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to mark angry.
Okay.
I'm fucking pissed.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And is the other thing, what's the other thing you're doing?
The other one is
giving ground.
Giving ground.
Okay. So while the two of you are kind of arguing, the woman takes a dive to the side and pulls up her hand again and points at the dilettante and goes, click, boom. And the dilettante turns to Alina and starts running straight towards you.
I'm going to go after the actual threat.
Okay.
I'm going to directly engage. And because I am angry, I'm going to be using all of the frustration of being waterlogged and wet and got glass all over me. And I'm just cut up and beat down. And this was a new top. And I spent like 2 hours doing my hair this morning. So I am angry, and so I'm going to use the move Venting Frustration.
Okay.
Which means I can roll to directly engage a threat, plus the label my mentor did nice.
Oh, nice.
Shit.
Which is freak.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. So because you're because you're pissed off, you're acting against how your mentor frequently acts, mm-hmm. allowing you to use freak to directly engage.
Mm-hmm.
So that means this is also going to be a psychic attack.
Yes.
That's amazing. What is this looking like? What are you doing with this?
I'm going to break her fingers one by one and her hands and all her wrists.
Okay, so you're trying to just like break the bones in her hands.
Yeah, and basically, I'll start with her arms so she can no longer hold her arms up.
Okay.
And then start breaking her fingers.
Okay. Dark. Go
well,
ahead and
if I succeed,
roll to directly engage a threat.
Okay. So 6 + 3 = 9.
Okay. So that means you...
Are we in combat? Do we have team we can use?
Actually, yes, you are. We should do that move. I always forget to do that if it's at the beginning of a session. Okay. So you have one team in the pool already.
Mm-hmm.
You're entering battle against a dangerous foe as a team.
Yes.
So we're adding 2 to the team pool.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the leader in this fight?
I think it's Alina.
I think Alina makes sense. So does the leader have influence over every teammate?
She has influence over me.
Yes, she has influence over me.
Awesome.
Nice. That's the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
So we're at 4. Alina, what is your purpose in this fight?
She fucked with my friends, and I need her to stop doing that.
Okay, so you're stopping her.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else have anything different?
That's it.
Cool. The dilettante as well. So we're up to 5. If any team member mistrusts the leader or the team, remove a team.
Nope.
We good? If your team is ill-prepared or off-balance, remove a team. I don't think that you are. You went and chased her down.
Yeah.
Admittedly, Sokotoa has been knocked out. But theoretically, we should have done this before Sokotoa was knocked out.
Okay.
That's my bad.
That's fine.
So you are at 5 team right now.
Okay.
Which is a nice place to be.
Cool. So I want to use one team to assist her.
Okay.
And that will be, I think that takes, that can, I think the thing that makes the most sense and it fits with what I was going to do anyway, which is that I'm going to, follow up this attack by also directly attacking her.
Okay.
And, but not like a, like Alina's attack is a psychic attack. So it's kind of from a little bit of a distance.
Yeah.
But Puck is like sprinting right at her.
Okay. Cool. So does that bring it to a 10 then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you get to choose 2 from the directly engage a threat options.
Her fingers.
That actually, in order to prevent her from attacking, you would have to choose take something from them, which would be her ability to do that.
Don't worry about her attacking me. I have a
plan. I'm going to impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Okay, cool.
And create an opportunity for my ally.
So you're not resisting or avoiding their blows or taking something from them.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I'm getting my my face bashed. I'm doing some penance.
Okay.
So
sorry, Elspeth.
So we get the scene where Alina, or I guess Arcana at this point, reaches out and just grabs onto her hands with the psychic power. And there's just like there's a big cracking sound. She stumbles back with this look of just dismay and fear on her face. Like that's totally not cool. And, she starts to turn to run to try to like get out of the way, and she's not super speed, so she gets like 2 steps and then Puck is right there at her.
Yeah.
What do you do?
So
but hold up, I forgot, you did not resist or avoid their blows, so you like you get that and you're starting and you can like feel it's like you have big hands wrapped around her hands and you're like starting to like just break them with your psychic powers, and then you see a stiletto boot coming right towards your face, and Dilettante has kicked you right in the head. Roll to take a powerful blow.
Plus conditions marked.
7 she rolled.
So on a 7 to 9, you lash out verbally, provoke a teammate to foolhardy action, or take advantage of your influence to inflict a condition. You give ground, your opposition gets an opportunity, or you struggle past the pain and mark 2 conditions.
I think I kind of want a Terminator moment, so I'm going to mark 2 conditions and just...
Okay. And just struggle past the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get just, like, kicked hard in the head.
There's just a long, jagged, red line where I'm bleeding out of, where the heel of the stiletto has just scraped across my cheek.
Perfect. And Dilettante is there in front of you, and she's kind of like up, like fists up and ready. And just, we get a panel of the two of you just squared off with each other. And now Puck.
Yeah.
What do you do?
So Puck is going, I'm going to mark a doom sign.
Okay.
Because I'm going to use my infinite powers doom sign.
Okay.
Which lets me mark my doom track to use an ability from another, from any playbook one time. And what I want to do is use the impenetrable armor from the transformed playbook.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that we can interpret impenetrable as psychically impenetrable armor.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the way I kind of imagine that looking is in the way that when Puck had done the burn and had, and it was like wielding magic, it was that ripply heat effect for reality around him. And then this is kind of like it darkens and almost like solidifies around him.
Yeah.
Into dark banded armor that just covers him from head to toe.
Nice.
As he bends reality to harden around him to create a shield, an impenetrable shield between him and anyone else's psychic or physical attacks, I guess.
Yeah.
It's impenetrable. And I'm going to try to, I've caught up to her because I have super speed. And Puck is going to grab her and just like put his arms around her to pin her arms to her sides.
Nice.
And make sure that she can't like move or run and just like hold her.
Okay. So I think in that case you're unleashing your powers.
Okay. Cool.
Because you're trying to, because you're not actively trying to defeat her in that.
Yeah. I'm trying to stop her from doing anything else.
Yeah.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You jump and you're able to just... I think, well, we know you're a football player.
Yeah,
so
well,
I think,
but he's a kicker.
Oh.
So,
but you've seen a lot of tackling.
But I've seen a lot of it, yeah.
So we get like a shot of you just jumping and just tackling her and I think dragging her to the ground.
Yeah, because this was all just one, as Alina was doing his attack, he coordinated like so that while to distract the this lady from Alina's attack, he started sprinting at her, and at some point he just like he's sprinting right at her, threatening her, drawing her attention, but she's like splitting her attention between these two attacks.
Yeah.
And in the moment when she looks back at Alina to try to do the her psychic attack to as a repercussion of the things that Alina did, she takes her eye off him for a moment, and that's when this like dark armor just like pulls up over him.
Nice.
He's still got the plague mask and the antlers and stuff. And he just like he slows to a walk and just like walks up to her while she's not paying attention for that moment, and just like grabs her and puts his arms around her and holds her tight.
And she like she struggles and like moves a little bit and gets one of her arms between her back and your front and just like looks over her shoulder and goes, "Bad idea." Click. Boom. And we just get a panel of Puck, totally fine.
Yeah.
Click, click, today. Boom. Click, boom.
Not anymore.
Okay.
You're done.
Can we talk?
Nope.
And Dilettante at this point has now been returned to her senses. And so we had a couple of like quick shots of like Alina being just pushed back by Dilettante coming forward and like strike, and she's just blocking to the best of her ability, but was going to have some hard time ahead, and now just stop.
Oh, thank Christ. Or Yahweh, or whoever.
And Dilettante just goes, "I'm sorry about that. This has been really... Come on." And she turns and moves towards where Puck has the assailant held. Kalino at this point is now coming too, and is able to like kind of blink back some of the pain, and is hurt, but is awake and up again, and is a superhero. And so Alina, as you come up, you can see the tattoo right on her neck. That is definitely the symbol of the appointed. There's no question.
There's probably a moment where she's struggling, and I'm like holding her, and that's where she like like tilts her head to try to struggle, and that it's perfectly framed so that Alina can see.
Yeah,
and in that moment, the blood drains out of my face, And I freeze.
Alina, what's wrong?
We need to get her out of here right now. I'm calling someone. And I go and I call the asset.
Okay, yeah. So it rings like a quarter of a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Alina.
Listen, things went sideways at the science expo. I can't really get into it right now, but I wasn't able to get those lasers you were looking for.
You really could have used those lasers.
Listen, I have an appointed operative in custody right now. We need cover.
I'm on my way.
Transport.
I'm on my way. And the phone line just like clicks off. No, the phone line doesn't click off. You just hear...
Because we're cell phone people now.
Yeah, and he is just... Well, you can hear like he threw the phone in his pocket and did not hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like sprinting. And you can hear him like shouting at somebody.
In traffic? As no, he's driving?
No, he's like... No, there's just a shout of like, get dressed, we have to get there now. And he's like, and there's like a door that opens and slams and there's all this rustling. And at some point he realizes that his phone is still on and he shuts it off. You have support incoming.
Okay.
But Puck, you're still holding her.
Yeah.
So what are the three of you doing? So Dilettante is looking at Alina with some suspicion on her face. And she goes, who is that call for?
Classified.
Listen, kid, you did a really, really good job out here, and you should feel really good about that. But we now need to handle this in an appropriate manner, and if you're giving me this crap, I'm going to have to go above your head. And she is shifting your labels. She is raising your mundane and lowering your savior.
All right, well, I'm not standing for that shit. A 7.
A 7?
Yeah.
Okay, a 7 is a 7 to 9.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, 7 is good. 7 is good.
Oh, good.
So on a 7 to 9, clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift one label up and one label down, your choice. Or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
I'm going to clear afraid.
Okay.
And so I'm going to do something.
Yes, you need to immediately act to prove them wrong.
Listen, I appreciate your assistance on this matter, but you're basically a civilian hobbyist.
Whoa. Oh, nice. Shots fired.
I'm sure that there are plenty of people who need help in the building.
And she just gets like an intense glare on her face. You see her raise her hand like she's going to just like open hand slap you. Like not any martial arts, none of that stuff, just like holding off and slapping you across the face. And then she stops and reaches to a little pin on her dress and presses it. And that's a communicator. And she's going to be calling this in probably to some of like the major, maybe the old guard, like, you know, some sort of larger superhero community.
All right. So I'm going to psychically stop her from pressing the button.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
5 + 3 is 8.
Excellent. You can either mark a condition or it will be unstable or temporary.
I feel guilty.
Okay.
I just got rid of that one. Anyway.
So, yeah, her hand stops before she can get that. And she just glares at you. This isn't how we do things.
No, this isn't how things have been done.
Amazing. And then that's so good. Oh, my gosh. And then the black helicopter comes down and it's like, we just get like a scene of the two of them standing basically face to face. Dilettante's in some pretty serious heels. So she might have like a little bit of height on Alina. I don't remember exactly how tall Alina is.
Not very.
Okay. So she's got some height on Alina right now. And then we get Alina's line and then the helicopter just rising up behind the building.
Because of course he was flying super low.
Well, because this is a comic and it's gotta look badass.
Yeah,
so helicopter just like rises up and the asset is there in his very normal put together suit. He's got his domino mask on because he has to be out in a little bit of public. There's another man in the helicopter with him driving it. And he looks out to the four of you and goes, get her in here. Got to move fast.
Gentlemen.
I guess I'll just try to lift her.
Yeah, no problem.
Probably can do that and then just carry her.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm helping Kalino up and into the helicopter.
Yeah, but mostly because Kalino, his jaw's on the ground because of what you just said. He's like he doesn't feel well physically, but he's like floored that you spoke to her that way.
Yeah.
And he also feels a little bad because he's kind of a civilian, like, you know, hobbyist.
Oh, shit.
So, like,
oh, yeah. Oh, I have been doing all the wrong things to you, Kalino. I'm so sorry.
It's cool. He knows that you don't have a problem with him, but he's like, he's amazed at what just happened.
Also, you and I, like Kalino and Puck, are probably have a little moment of like, holy shit, she just called someone. Exactly. And a helicopter showed up. What does she do that we don't know about? Who is this? Like, we knew you had a secret benefactor who was teaching you stuff, but I don't think we knew it was like this. I assumed it was like a karate expert or something who was just training you.
So our next panel shows the four of you plus the asset in the back of the helicopter, and he's pulled it shut. He quickly gets the woman tied up instead of being held by Puck so that Puck doesn't have to hold her forever.
And then as soon as she is secured, I guess he would drop the armor.
Okay. So yeah, that just
probably
fades away.
Maintain it forever, and the shorter the better if it's a doom thing.
Yeah. And you can feel like on the back of your neck, just a feeling of like fingers just drawing downward as it disappears. And you just feel like that darkness, that badness.
Yeah, one away from marking the track doom sign again.
Oh, jeez. And so then we get a panel that shows the dilettante down on the building, and she's going, unknown black helicopter. Could we maybe try to bring that in? And then a couple of panels that just show like some quick movements from the helicopter and everyone getting jostled inside, and the asset turns to Alina and says, mind if we did you intend to show these two your new place?
I haven't even had time to clean, but let's
break it in. And he just like moves forward to the front where there's someone else piloting, and like we get a little scene where he gives the guy a squeeze on the shoulder and sits down in the front seat. And our next shot is inside your new base. So is your new base above ground or underground?
It's both.
Okay, cool. We've got like a multi-layer sort of bunker situation.
All right. I'm still keeping some secrets.
Okay.
So there is a really nice like underground waterfall nature retreat.
Nice.
And that's half of what's underground.
Okay.
But basically the basement is concealed.
Okay, cool. So we're up in the upper, our next one is like the room in the upper area.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up, the space is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like it's got this, it's not super pretty, but mm-hmm. it has like, it is a secret base mm-hmm. and it is clearly high tech. It's clearly expensive. There's like some couches and chairs that maybe look a little bit old. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely some cobwebs that need to be cleared out at some point. But this is a big state-of-the-art secret base. You've mm-hmm. got like, you know, big computer screens. This isn't your little desk that you had. This mm-hmm. is the Justice League computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
And where have you put the woman that you were going after?
There's a small holding cell.
Okay.
You still have a bunch of like little security robots too, right?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of dumb robots. I love my dumb robots.
Oh, so maybe she's in like a, she's like just tied up like with a chair or something. And mm-hmm. there's the robots are all like sitting around and just kind of like making sure that she's doing the right thing. And like
Roombas with tasers.
Yeah. She starts to stand up and like one of them just like comes over and just like grabs her shoulder and brings mm-hmm. her back down. And then one of them swings its head and clatters into another one. And there's suddenly two robots fighting on a table.
All right. I think we're going to need a little bit more secure setting. These guys can't be trusted too long together. But for now.
So the asset is there with a. So now, like, let's just set this scene. We've got we've got this big screen TV, the whole deal, a big like conference table. Basically, picture a secret base, and that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The asset is pacing back and forth, as he frequently is. The pilot is seated at the conference table, kind of looking a little bit awkward.
Thanks for the ride. This looks great, but I need to make sure that Dr. Morris is okay. So I got to go back down to the expo. I'll just catch you guys later, and thanks for everything.
Hold on. What do you need? The asset is like coming towards you, and he stands a little bit too close, and he's a little intense. But he goes, Kalino, what do you need?
How do you know my name? Who are you?
This is my mentor.
The asset.
The asset.
And he puts a hand forward for you to shake.
Kalino shakes his hand, but like kind of tentatively. He's a little creeped out that he knows who I am.
I don't think it's a good idea for anyone to be leaving this facility right now. We don't want to draw any further attention than bringing the helicopter in.
There's somebody who I need to check on at the expo. I'm okay. Not sure if they found her. You probably know her, Dr. Morris.
Oh God, yeah, Dr. Morris. She was there.
Yeah, she had a whole presentation.
That's not great. Okay. And he goes over to the computer and he starts he hits a button on it and it just comes up and it's like, "Hello, asset." And he goes, enough of the pleasantries. Get me the feed on the expo. All right, where is she?
So she's in the in one of the entrance hallways.
Okay.
She's in a box.
Okay.
On top of a chandelier.
Okay.
She's hurt.
And he goes, "Did you hear that?" He goes, "Yes, finding." And there's like a little status bar for a minute. It's like a couple of seconds, and then it gives a camera view of the box, and the box is open, and it goes, "Loading exterior camera," and there's a shot from outside of the expo that shows like that medical teams have arrived, and they have like an enormous like a gurney that has Sybil on it,
and like, she looks a normal
like a normal like size gurney, because they didn't anticipate needing to bring a mouse gurney, so she's just there on she's on the pillow actually. And then the asset says, "Can we get a read on what they're holding?" And she goes, and the computer goes, "Locating," and the camera just like spins around, and we get a view that shows like a clipboard, and the injuries are kind of like tallied out, and it doesn't look great, but she's stable. Like she's going to live. She's probably going to be in like some relatively full body casting for a little while, but she is okay. She's not going to die.
Okay. So Kalino feels much, much better. Doesn't feel the urge to leave suddenly.
Okay.
Has he received any medical attention though? Cause he's pretty bloodied up.
I don't know. Have you received? Probably not.
Yes.
Unless you did on the
right.
On the
no.
Because the plane was the helicopter ride was a bumpy ride.
Okay.
But you probably have some medical stuff there, yeah. Like light medical stuff.
Hey, okay. Can I take a look at that head? You've got a big bump on your head.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All right, I'm just gonna go get the first aid kit.
Yeah. So are you going to treat him out here or bring him to the first aid kit just for the panels?
I'll probably bring him. Yeah, it's just through here. So yep. I'm going to bring him over to the master bath.
Sure. Yeah. So like you lead through and like you're in this very nice, if somewhat minimalistic bathroom. And she's like, we get a couple of panels of her putting some ice and some things like that. And I guess trying to like, you know, doing some medical things. And why don't you roll to comfort or support? That's plus mundane.
Ooh.
It's at least a 6.
It's an 11.
Nice. Okay. So the way it works is on a hit, they hear you. So like you're showing some comfort and general care for him. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so like my interpretation is that you are showing that you care. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So on a hit, they hear you, they mark potential, clear a condition, or shift labels if they open up to you. On a 10 plus, you can also add a team to the pool or clear a condition yourself.
We still have, what, four?
Five.
Four in the team pool.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to clear Insecure.
Cool. Yeah, you showed everyone your super cool base. So
yeah, this is a pretty big lump, but there's no way we're going to be able to conceal it. But most of the bruises and cuts are superficial. We could probably find something that will get you past the front door so your parents don't worry.
Yeah, they're going to worry. My mom's going to worry no matter what. But yeah, I can just say I was like playing baseball or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Awesome. So go ahead and mark potential, clear a condition, or shift labels. Because I think you opened up to her.
So I'm going to clear condition.
Okay.
And I'm going to clear angry.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so now we have a panel that show. We have got a couple panels that is Puck, the woman that was attacking you all, mm-hmm. and the asset.
Yeah.
Puck, what are you doing in this secret base?
Puck is staying away from the asset. He doesn't really trust the asset.
Okay.
And he also doesn't trust these robots or anything that is holding this lady down. So he's just keeping an eye on her.
Yeah.
He's still got his mask on. Like, he's not taking his mask off.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of maybe pacing back and forth next to where this lady is tied up. Just like muttering to himself.
The only person not pacing right now is the pilot.
Yeah.
And he just looks at the two of you and goes to you and the asset, who are both just like wearing holes in the ground, and goes, "Oh my God, there's two of you. I'm not going to survive this. I can't do that. Do you still need me here?" And he starts to like open his mouth as though he's going to say a name, and then like quickly shuts it. And the asset walks over to him and says, "No, I'm sorry. You don't need to be involved with this. I know it's a little more than you normally do. Do you want to? There's a spare bedroom right down there. If you want to get in there, just be out of. If you don't mind giving me the ride back, I would really appreciate it." And the pal goes, "No, of course." And he stands up and like gives him a little kiss and moves back to the guest bedroom that was pointed out to him. And then the asset turns to Puck and goes, I'm the asset, and you're Puck?
Yes.
How is she doing?
Who?
And he pauses for a moment he's like trying to like figure out whether he has heard Alina's name said out loud.
And Puck gestures over to the lady we have tied up, and then over to the room, like.
And he gestures to the room instead, like towards where Alina is.
Yeah. Well, good.
Good.
Great.
Has she seemed focused?
Yeah.
Good.
Was she not?
No. Just there's things going on, and I want to be sure that there's people looking out for her.
Yeah.
And he comes up like straight up to you, and he's a tall, big dude. He's not like hugely muscular, like ripped Dwayne The Rock Johnson style, but like just a kind of a big guy.
Yeah.
And he puts his hands on your shoulders and goes, "Can I trust you to always have her back and make sure that she is safe? Like a real team, not like kids screwing around."
And Puck is just kind of like takes a deep breath and he says, "Yeah, you could trust me."
And he's also trying to shift your labels at this point as well.
Okay.
He's trying to lower your danger and raise your savior.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Cool.
And Puck will just finish it. So he just says, Yeah, I will definitely have her back. We are a team for as long as I'm around.
And he says, "Thank you. I appreciate that." And then he goes and stands in front of the woman who's still kind of tied up there and nods at her and says, "What do you call yourself?" And she kind of like shrugs a little bit and goes, "I didn't really thought of it that much. I guess, Mindshot?" He goes, "It's a stupid name. All these stupid hoods with their stupid names." And that's about when Alina and Kalino come back in.
Puck pulls his hood on a little bit. Puck, man.
Have you gotten anything out of her yet?
Just a stupid name. Haven't really started yet. How's he doing?
A little banged up, but nothing permanent.
Good. All right. Let's have a chat. And he brings a chair over and like turns it around and sits down backwards in it to look at her and like is like leaning in real intently for a panel.
So okay. There's a moment where he sits, the acid sits down and is like getting ready. He's like thinking about like what, he's clearly like thinking about how he's going to do this.
Yeah.
And then Puck just kind of walks over and just goes, "May I?" And he walks over and puts a hand on this lady.
Okay.
And what I want to try to do is I want to try to put, like, I want to try to go into her memory and I want to try to add a whole bunch of memories of like the asset and Kalino and Alina and Puck and
okay.
this lady, like, take like the scenes of us like all sitting in the helicopter and then like warp that memory so that now it's us sitting around a Thanksgiving dinner and
okay.
we're all like laughing instead of just like staring at each other
okay.
and like we're like these are like weirdly like obviously fake memories but they're gonna like put a little bit of like a oh like we had some good times together yeah. thoughts like with the four of us.
I'm picturing just like Leave It to Beaver style yeah. like oh, way yeah. over the
and,
top
and we're all still like Puck is still wearing his costume still he just like got like a Christmas sweater on
yeah
over top of the hoodie.
Okay.
And so we're just going through all of the moments where we were fighting earlier.
Yeah.
And tweaking them so tweaking that we were like.
So you're like playing baseball.
Yeah. Like there's the moment where he's like, where Puck is running at her, but it's like a, we were long, like long Yay. Lost friends who found each other again.
Oh, I love this.
And so he's just going to like try to insert all of these memories to make her more willing to try to talk to us.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
All right.
I wish I could just say yes that happens because I love it, but I feel like I can't. Gotta play to find out what happens.
Four, five, six, seven.
Oh, awesome.
That's still freak, right? Yeah.
I'm glad. So yeah, so we get all of those things and she just like for a while is still with kind of wide eyes, and then we see all of these memories and panels being modified. And then she just sort of leans back and relaxes a little bit and says, "Did you guys tie me to the chair?"
It was just for fun.
"Could you let me up?"
And I'm just going to walk over to, and Puck will just walk over to the asset and be like, "It's safe to let her go. Like, it's for a moment."
And the asset nods and goes and unties her, and she stands up and kind of like cracks her back and does like a little like whirly motion with her wrists, like, and like
puts her hands. Broken?
Didn't no, no.
Okay.
Because that was not taken. She did not choose to take okay. something from her.
Oh.
Yeah. So she like does like a little like twirly motion with her wrists and like makes the finger guns and like goes like as though she's putting them into holsters at her side, and then says, "Oh, wow. I feel just totally disoriented. I feel like something. Did I get hit in the head or something?"
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Yes, you did. You got hit in the head, we're just trying to get you back to your employer.
Well, thank you so much for coming and taking care of me. Come on, group hug. And she, like, goes to try to, like, bring you all in for a group hug.
Oh, yeah.
Kalina's not buying that.
He's like, that nope.
goes in for a big hug.
Okay, and the asset is, like, kind of brought along, not super thrilled with it. So we've got, like, this wonderful hug that has the four of them and Kalino off to the side, and she gives Kalino like a look and just sort of laughs at him and goes,
oh. Classic Kalino.
Always like that. Yeah, Kalino.
So, sweetie, we were trying to get you back to work. Do you remember where you work?
Yeah, absolutely. The COA.
COA.
Yeah.
Where is that located?
I mean, like, you guys aren't really members, so I'm not supposed to tell you. But we're opening up the official church pretty soon, so I'm really excited. The opening's going to be so great.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, so you're working on a new church. Are you, like, in construction, or...?
I'm in acquisitions. And she gives kind of, like, a smile at that, as though she's made a little joke that all of us will get to appreciate.
Oh, well, that's nice. What kind of things have you been acquiring lately?
The acid is looking at all of this with just a baffled look on his face. He clearly doesn't like what's going on. This is not his comfort zone. All of this is freaky and weird.
That's true.
But at least you weren't freaky and weird, Elena. And
doesn't know the real you.
Yeah. And he kind of stands up at the question of what they've been acquiring. And she says, oh, we were getting, I don't really keep up with all of it. It's mutant suppressant for some reason. I think it's to store them.
Store the suppressants.
No. To suppress. Okay. So you know how, this would be so much better if you're just part of the church.
Well, I mean, I have my rights on Monday.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes.
I think you're provoking someone.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're trying to provoke her to tell you.
Plus superior.
So 12.
12?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Oh, I mean, I kind of feel like I shouldn't, but I guess I can tell you.
Right.
So, we've managed to figure out the rights. We've worked out how to open the mutant gene, how to break open the whole genome, and how to really just connect our spiritual selves to our powers and bring them out. Like these things, and she holds up her finger guns, and she says, last week, nothing. Didn't have that. But I went through the first ritual, and I was awakened, and now we can do it. Now we can save the world. We can bring everybody together, and there won't be humans and mutants anymore. It'll just be people, and we can all be awakening the power that exists within us.
That sounds real, real exciting.
So they've got, like, they need the mutant suppressant, I guess, to maintain the ritual room, because otherwise, it sounds like the mutagens themselves, the capsules, they just release too much and they go inert. Huh. So holding it all in the room will mean that we can have what we've always worked for.
Sounds fake, but okay. All right. Let's see.
And the asset at this point comes forward and goes, if this is true, we need to deal with her quickly and get moving.
Deal with her. The freezer hasn't been fixed yet, so it's just a big room right now. As long as Dewey checks in on her to let some oxygen in, she should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we can even just run the ventilator through, and that should be okay.
Yeah, I know we have to move, but I think she's still a valuable source of intel.
And his eyes narrow for a moment. And then he goes, you're using your head. That's good. I was getting hasty. You know how I tend to get hasty. I'm proud of you. That's good. And he's trying to shift your labels. He's trying to raise your superior and lower your danger.
Shit.
Because he was talking about just killing her.
So I'm going to reject.
Okay.
Seven.
Okay, so on a 7 to 9, choose 1, clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift 1 label up and 1 down, your choice, or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
I'm not feeling guilty anymore.
Okay. Because you just saved someone's life.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
Yes, but how do I prove them wrong? Is that something I still have to do?
Yeah, if you're going to clear a condition, you do have to immediately act to prove them wrong.
Okay, so...
You have to, I guess, show that you are acting not out of thoughtfulness, but out of something else.
This is the first lead that we've had in years, and I don't have any kind of special affection for her. I just think she might be useful. And I walk over to her, and I just punch her in the face. Knock her out.
Perfect. She goes down. She goes down hard, no question. And the asset looks at you, and there's like a little moment of distress on his face. And he says, "All right. There's a freezer here, too. Keep her here." And he turns and looks to the two of you, Kalino and Buck. "You've just gotten into something way bigger than any of you."
Yeah. Buck just starts laughing. That's funny.
And he just turns on Puck and like steps forward, and he's going to give you like a little shove to push you back into a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And goes,
"No."
And just like points right at your face. And says, "You're gonna see. You've just come into the fucking big leagues."
Puck will just stand back up. "You don't know me. I feel like I've given this speech 1,000 times. You don't know me. You don't know the things that I've gotten into. I've been playing in leagues bigger than you could possibly imagine for years."
"Alina, let me know if you want me to set you up with some people that can work at your level." And he turns and he's walking back towards the guest bedroom to get Dewey and get out.
So that was my mentor.
Okay.
I would apologize for him, but I never had to do that before.
It's okay. People don't know me. People don't understand. You guys do, I think.
There's a wide shot of the three of you looking very small in this huge open space with Mindshot just lying on the ground, just knocked out.
So I believe I have some explaining to do.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at And the Meltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at @_Starkey_. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.